Matthew chapter 6 forms part of the Sermon on the Mount, where the Lord Jesus Christ is ministering to His disciples and to those round about. This final section of chapter 6 deals with living the Christian life, the Christian's conduct in a world that knows so much trouble. It deals with the righteous life, knowing God as your Father, and yet as a man in the world, feeling the cares, the strain, the toil of life. How do we deal with that? The Lord Jesus Christ here examines three areas of life in the passage that we have been reading together. There are three areas of life that we must consider. These three areas of life often cause us trouble. We have difficulty with these things. In this place, the Lord Jesus Christ talks about our treasure. He also talks about our thoughts. He also talks about trust. Those three things often give us a lot of trouble. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What is it that you set your heart upon? And then he talks about our thoughts, how we are to take no thought for our life. We're to guard our thoughts. There are things that consume our thoughts and thereby make us anxious, and we're grieved and troubled in spirit. What is it that consumes your thoughts? And then there's this matter of faith and trust in the Lord. What are you trusting in? You cannot serve God and mammon. There must be that faith in the Lord. Three areas that we need to continually examine. We need to look at our own hearts. We need to guard our thoughts. And we need to have our faith placed in the Lord continually. He talks about treasure here. Verse 19 and 20, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. A telltale sign of how your life is going, of where your heart is, will be to look at what you treasure the most. The heart follows its treasure. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is not just necessarily addressing the rich, those who are well-to-do, those who are financially well-off, who have treasures abundant in this world as far as material things. He's not just addressing the rich, but he's speaking about treasure here, that which you set your heart upon. Treasure is not just referring to money or finance. Treasure is something you desire as the very best thing, as something of great value. You esteem it. You long for it. You want it because you think that thing will bring you lasting satisfaction and happiness. The Lord Jesus Christ here is talking about an attitude to material things. Are you laying up for yourselves treasures on earth or treasures in heaven? Are you more concerned with material things or with spiritual realities? We are to be good stewards with what God has given to us. We're accountable. We're responsible for what we have. We're to use what we have wisely. But material things are not to be the center of our life and our existence. We'll leave them all behind. They will do us no good in the end. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's hard for those, Christ said, who trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. They're resting in those things, looking to those things for satisfaction and happiness. And often that peace, that satisfaction eludes them. We're not to depend on possessions to secure happiness, Christ says. We're not to depend on things to increase our joy and our satisfaction. In fact, a man's life consists not in the abundance of things that he possesseth. We're not to depend upon those things for life and for happiness. Rather, the Lord says, "My son, give me thine heart. For where your heart is, there your treasure will be also." You cannot serve God and mammon. There's no straddling of the fence. You must be on one side or the other. Either you are living for the Lord and you know God, or you do not. Either you are living for self and material things, or you're living for the Lord and spiritual realities. But the Lord says here that clinging to the things of life brings its own burdens, cares, problems. The Lord knows us well. He has a profound understanding of human nature. The Lord acknowledges that there is in us a propensity to be anxious, full of care. We're consumed with the things of this life, the things of this world. And in this place, then, He proposes a remedy. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Sensing our need, what are we to do? We should seek God for everything. He must be our all. He must be our everything. We know that with each new day, there are new trials, new struggles. Man is born unto trouble. What are we to do for each day? The Lord taught His disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." We need grace for each day. Just as bread sustains the physical frame, the body, so spiritually we need grace. We need to be strengthened with might in the inner man. Being full of care, anxious about temporal things, can lead to despair. And as burdened souls, we are often overcome by the demands upon us, the demands of life, the burdens of life. We feel weak. We're troubled and tossed. Peace of mind escapes us. The cares of life crush us. They weigh us down. And the Lord understood that. The Lord knew that. Those burdens that come upon us, those things that are demanded of us, can crush us at times. That's why the Lord said in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Heavy laden. The word there has the idea of being pressed down, crushed. Has the idea of a cargo ship with a heavy load sinks down in the water. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest." That refreshment of soul is found in Him. Peter exhorts us in 1 Peter 5:7 to cast all our care upon the Lord because He cares for us. This is the lesson that we must learn. We need to learn continually to cast our burden upon the Lord. He alone can sustain us. He alone can refresh our soul. He alone can help us, casting your burden upon the Lord. Throwing the whole weight of your anxiety unto the Lord and leaving it there. The tense in that place has the idea of once for all, having cast your burden upon the Lord. Leave it there. What do? We come to the Lord in prayer. We have a particular burden. We have a thing that troubles our hearts, makes us anxious. We pray about it. And no sooner have we come from the place of prayer than we take that burden upon ourselves again and we try to work out how we can resolve the problem instead of leaving it with the Lord. We are to look unto Jesus for that grace and strength that we need for each day. He must be our delight. He is our helper. He's the rock of our salvation. He must consume our hearts. We must be so taken with Him. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then there is this word concerning our thoughts. A word that appears time and time again in this passage is the word thought. Take no thought, verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. And again in verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And again in verse 34. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow. Take no thought. What is the Lord saying here? Well, He's dealing with that spirit of worry and anxiety. He's not saying that with regard to our daily duties and our responsibilities that we be careless. No, we must be responsible. We must be prudent. We must plan for the future. That is wise. But the Lord is dealing with that spirit of anxiety. He's saying, stop worrying about your life. Your Father in heaven knows your needs. Someone has said, worry is like a rocking chair. It's a lot of work, but it gets you nowhere. Which of you, by taking thought, can add a cubit to your stature? There's nothing you can do. Worry doesn't change a thing. Therefore, Christ says unto us, take no thought. Do not become over anxious about the temporal things, about the cares of this life. Over anxiety about the things in this world is for the heathen. That's what the ungodly do. The Gentiles, they seek after those things. They are consumed with present gain, with worldly things. That's not for you, Christian. Don't be over anxious about the cares of this world. The Christian has a very present help. We have hope for the future. We are citizens of heaven. We occupy another realm. Here we have no continuing city. We are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. And we must be taken up then with spiritual things. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ exhorts us here to get our eyes off temporal circumstances and unto the eternal God. Look at verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? You need to get your eyes off your present circumstances, though they may be disturbing and distressing. You need to get your eyes on the Lord. The eternal God must be your refuge. And if God so clothe the grass of the field, will He not clothe you also? Will He not take care of your needs? Have that single eye to God. In fact, that's what verse 22 and 23 are talking about. Those verses describe the way we look at things, the way we look at life. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If you're looking to the Lord, the light, you will walk in the light. He will direct you aright. When your thoughts, your heart is consumed with the things of God, you will not go wrong. But when you have an evil eye to evil things, wrong thinking leads to wrong living. Right thinking leads to right living. How do you look at things? How do you look at life? We need to have our eye single, a single eye to the Lord. If God so clothe the grass of the field which today is and tomorrow is burnt up, cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? And this word, O ye of little faith. So He talks about our treasure, where your heart is. He talks about guarding your thoughts. Take no thought of your life. But He talks about this matter of faith and trust. Ye of little faith. That's what it comes down to. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of faith in God. The Lord Jesus here, He rebukes our unbelief. He rebukes unbelief, saying, over anxiety about the cares of this life, that which consumes you is nothing more than a display of unbelief. O ye of little faith. Don't we believe God can provide? Do you not believe God can take care of you? Maybe it's a spirit of discontent. You think God is not doing enough for me. I don't have enough. I need more. Is that what it comes down to, this matter of faith? Oswald Chambers said, in times of crisis, we act like pagans. We act like the ungodly, like the Gentiles. Most of us are pagans in crisis. We think and act like pagans. Only 1 out of 100 is daring enough to bank his or her faith in the character of God. O ye of little faith. How is it that we can trust our souls to God? We think that the God of heaven who procures our salvation, who has saved our souls by the blood of Jesus, which is the greatest blessing of all that we can ever know this side of eternity, for this life and the life to come, the salvation of our souls. How is it we can entrust God with our souls and not entrust the little details of our daily life to Him? Do we think that God is not interested in the little details of our life? What do we read in Isaiah 53? That great passage that pictures the coming of Christ, the salvation that He procures, His dying in our place, wounded for our transgressions. Does it not say also in that place, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Jesus knows all about our struggles. At Calvary, He took our sins and our sorrows. He made them His very own. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He suffered in our place. He grants us life, spiritual and eternal, the salvation of our souls. Can we not trust Him for our daily provision? Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, or wherewithal ye shall be clothed, O ye of little faith. In fact, the Lord says here, if you're going to be anxious, if you are going to be consumed with something, here's something that you need to be consumed with. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Pursue the kingdom of God first. And there's a spiritual parallel here. We feel our need for daily bread, for raiment, for shelter. But what about the spiritual parallel? We have a need to feed our souls daily upon the bread of life that we would be sustained. There's a need for us to be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our sins must be covered. We must be members of the household of God. And the Lord is saying here, in essence, that's what you need to be concerned about. That's what you need to pursue, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Be concerned about the state of your relationship to Jesus Christ first. And all these things will be added unto you. Do not make, as Oswald Chambers said again, he said, do not make the ruling factor of your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, but make zealous concentration on God the one point of your life. Zealous concentration upon God. Paul's motto was, for me to live is Christ. That must be our motto also. Keep the heart with all diligence. The thing to concentrate on is the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's a glorious thing as a Christian to know what you are really living for. You labor not for meat which perishes, but you're laboring for life everlasting, that which endures. You take aim at heavenly things with the energy of your being. Your life has purpose and direction. This life is worth living because it promises to be the introduction to a better life, a more enduring substance. And the Lord would have us here. Well, He wants us to be effective servants in the world today. And we can be effective servants by seeking Him first. But when we are troubled, when we are over anxious, when the cares of life crush us, paralyze us, we are crippled. The Lord would have us follow this scriptural principle. Verse 33, that well-known text, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. There's the principle. Seek. Seek and ye shall find. How is it with us? Well, you know, you have this problem, this obstacle before you. Well, we could try this way to resolve it. We could try this way. And generally, when we've tried everything else, and that has failed, then we resort to the Lord. Then we turn to the Lord in prayer. But here's the principle. Seek, and ye shall find. This is the priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We miss so many blessings we have not because we ask not. We do not diligently seek God first. And this is what we must do. Take aim at the advancement and the promotion of God's kingdom in your life. His kingdom is not of this world. It's a spiritual kingdom. Seek first His kingdom, His righteousness. Pursue a life of holiness. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And there is a specific promise attached here. The principle, seek and ye shall find. The priority, seek first the kingdom of God. But the specific promise attached, all these things shall be added unto you. Your Father knows the things that you have need of. He will take care of your temporal provisions. You can trust Him. And whatever a day may bring, as we seek the Lord, we can know His help. Now, we don't know what a day will bring. We don't know the future. The future, in many ways, is uncertain to us. We don't know what a day will bring. But we do know that God is faithful. And we are to trust Him. We know He is sure. God is good. He is faithful to His people. The psalmist was able to say, He has not seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed in times of trouble. He is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He is just, He is wise, He is true. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. A God of truth without iniquity, just and right is He. He is the rock. His work is perfect. He knows all. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. He's a sun and a shield. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Oh, the future is uncertain, but our God remains the same. And oftentimes things we imagine about the future, you know those what-ifs? Well, what if this happens? Well, what if I do this and this happens? There's always the what-if. Generally, the things we imagine never come to pass as we think. In fact, it may never happen at all. We don't know what the future holds. But one thing is sure. Our God remains the same. The eternal God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in the time of trouble. And this is what we must remind ourselves day by day. The Lord is the same. The God who helps us today will be our helper tomorrow. He will not fail. He does not change. We can rest in the character of Almighty God. So seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I like what Dr. Barrett had to say. He said on one occasion, "The God of then is the God of now. The God of the past is the God of the present. Is our hope for the future. The God of the immediate present is the God of the eternal future. He will not fail us. And here is the remedy for worry and care and concern that overtakes us, that overwhelms us. There must be that exercise of faith in the Lord. What's the reasoning of faith here? My Heavenly Father knows all my needs, therefore, I can rest at ease. I can know His comfort. He will provide for me. This is the only foundation for true and eternal blessedness. Put God first in your affections, first in your pursuits, first each day. Desire and aim for heaven. Our passion, our zeal must be to seek God, to live for God. And as we do, we have this guarantee. All we need in life, in death, for eternity, is found in Him. We need not fear. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Take no thought for your life, O ye of little faith. Trust in the Lord. May God bless His word to our hearts this day.